Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gaberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. One of the important areas that businesses live on in order to grow and thrive is referrals. And as you continue to accumulate referrals, it gets easier for your business to grow. And a lot of people think they have to ask for a referral. And while this is good, it's good to ask for referrals, there's also a method you can use to get referrals without asking. So you're getting referrals on autopilot. And in this episode, we are going to unveil the curtain so you can see how you can get referrals without asking for them. Today's guest is a three-time entrepreneur, certified productivity and time efficiency coach, has a background in sales and marketing, and is an inspiring author. Her online programs and live coaching provide a blueprint to follow to take control of your referrals, your client experience, and your business. She believes that the best way to unleash a referral explosion is to do it without asking for referrals, and she has the results to prove it. Today's guest for episode 132 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Stacy Brown Randall. Stacy, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark. I'm looking forward to it.
Stacy, I'm really looking forward to taking this deep dive. And it's interesting how you have an approach for getting referrals without asking in the way that other people would do. And before we get into this philosophy, I'm wondering what got you started with your business?
You know, it's interesting. When I look at how I arrived where I am today, which is teaching people all across the world how to generate referrals without asking, the truth is I landed here because I had a business that failed. The very first business that I ever started was a consulting firm. It was a human resource HR consulting firm, and it did well from the outside looking in. I had some big name clients, some big companies like KPMG and BDO, two large accounting firms. I worked with Snyder's Lance. That was back when they were just Lance Snack Foods. Before they merged with Snyder's, I also worked with the city of Charlotte, where I'm based, Coca-Cola Bottling Consolidated, like a lot of big name companies. But that business failed, and I learned some very important lessons. One of those being that if you don't figure out a way to generate business and bring in new clients, your business can't actually succeed, but you've got to do it in a way you'll want to do it. And so when I just reflected back after that business failed, I figured out, okay, I've got to figure out how to bring in clients if I get a chance to start business number two. And I did. I had an opportunity. I had to go back to corporate America, but then when I left, I started my second business. That's this business. And what I learned from that failure has really informed everything that I do now and has allowed me to really hone my skills in terms of, okay, if we're going to have to bring in business, let's figure out a way to do it in a way that we want. And referrals was kind of what I was most interested in. I just didn't like the advice that was out there that saying that if you want them, go ask for them. And if you won't ask for them, it's your fault and it's your own head trash. And that just didn't sit well with me. And I was like, I just think there's got to be a different way. So I used my second business as a guinea pig, the business I'm in now. And that business has evolved over the last number of years to where I truly just teach people, okay, there's a process, there's some steps. Here's how you do it. Here's the language that you use. And this is how you can generate referrals without asking. So I am here because a business failed.
And you have to like take note of the fact that Stacy is here because of one of the mistakes she made, one of the failures in a sense. And we all make all these mistakes along the way. Some mistakes are really big, others are small. But the point is we have to learn from our mistakes to reach a higher level. And I mean, this is very different advice from what you like. Almost everyone is like, ask for the referral, contact people, you know, so. How do we actually create this brand or this product or service in a way where you're getting referrals without asking for them?
Okay, so there's two fundamental truths you really have to understand for what I'm going to talk about to actually make sense. And the first one is you actually have to be worthy of the referrals. So you have to be referable. And I always refer to that as you've got to have a sticky client experience. And when I say client experience, most people think I mean, oh, I have to do great work. Like the product that I produce, right, has to be great. And then when there's a problem, I've got to provide great customer service. And I always say, nope, client experience is not customer service. A client experience is, yes, the great work that you do, the output, right? The delivery of your service or your product. Yes, that has to be great. But a client experience has a second piece to the formula. And that is that you have to build relationships with your clients. Now, I don't mean the relationships where you're going to grab a beer with them, right? I mean, nobody has time for that, but depending if you have hundreds and hundreds of clients. But they've got to know you care. They have to know that you see them more than just a dollar sign. And they have to understand, right, that you are the type of person that if they were to send people to, they'd have no concerns about how you would take care of them. And so the number one fundamental truth is, first, you need to be worthy of those referrals. I believe if you have a strong, sticky client experience and you connect with your clients and you build relationships with them and you deliver on great quality work and when things go wrong, you fix it, right? If you have those pieces in place, you definitely deserve referrals. You are never owed them, but you definitely deserve them. So that's one of the first pieces that I always tell folks you've got to understand. And then when you're thinking about what it looks like, you then also have to understand the other piece of referral, which means a referral isn't actually about you. So when all the advice out there tells you to ask, 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 I mean, Mark, you know this, at the end of the day, if I'm asking you for something, who am I making it about? Myself, right? When I'm asking you to do work for me, when I'm asking you to do something for me, I'm actually making it about me. But when you break down the human dynamic and the reason and the psychology behind why referrals actually happen, and I mean the true definition of referrals, which we can get into because people have diluted the definition of a referral over the last couple of decades. But when you look at what a referral truly is, and you're paying attention to the definition of it and how it works, it's not about you. So when I ask you for one, I'm making it about me, which means I'm violating the very foundation of what a referral is. And a referral is, right, it is I know someone who has a problem that they need solved or has a need, right, that they need fixed, right? And I happen to know that you're the person to solve it. So a referral is about me helping my friend, my colleague, my family member, my buddy, my neighbor who has a problem. And I get to be the hero as the referral source, right? As the one referring my friend who has the problem to you as the potential service provider, right? I get to be the hero and I get to help my friend. And that's where at the heart where most referrals come from. And so when all the advice is out there that you have to ask, right? You're undermining that very foundation of why I would send you a referral in the first place. And when we do that, right, we all of a sudden commoditize our relationship with our referral source. We make it about ourselves, which it never is. And that actually hampers our ability to generate referrals in the long term. I mean, there are people out there who ask for referrals and it works for them. And I always say, great, if it works for you, I'm not interested in breaking anything that works for you. But for the millions of the rest of us who don't want to ask because it feels like we're making a cold call when we do ask people we know for referrals or even people we don't know, which is some of the advice out there too, it's not comfortable for us to do, so we won't. Because at the heart of it, we have to understand I have to be worthy of referrals. And I have to understand that a referral is all about the referral source and the person they're trying to help. It's not about me.
And I see like there are a lot of brands out there that have this incredible value proposition and people just can't help to recommend them. Like for Apple products, there are a lot of Apple lovers out there who they'll talk up the next iPhone. Me, I recommend a lot of great books that I've read and I don't benefit in any way from plenty of the books that I promote, and I see how this can have like a really big effect if you're just focusing on creating an immense amount of value within the product or service, or even just the free content that you're offering. But the only thing that I feel like some people may be wondering about is there may be some people listening who they don't have the audience yet. They don't have any customers or any clients. So what do you do there? No one's through the product yet. So is it like how do you get those initial clients and customers so that they're eventually leading referrals to you?
Right. So I always tell folks, if you're brand new and you're starting out, right, don't focus on referrals. every business needs three plans. It needs three plans within their business development strategy. And that is, you need a marketing plan, right? So you're, whether that's an online presence or it's, you know, it's your logo, it's your website. Maybe it's also, you know, some publicity that you go after, right? You have a marketing plan. And depending on the size of your business, yours could be very, very small, or it could be very robust, right? Depending if you're a larger brand. Right. So every business needs a marketing plan. Every business needs a prospecting plan. And a prospecting plan is the plan that I call, it's the I need to eat tomorrow. Right. So I need to do the things that are going to generate leads now because I need to close some business. And that could be the cold calling or the cold emailing. That could be the networking that you do. That could be the one-on-one coffees that you're grabbing with people. It could be going to trade shows. It depends on your business and your industry as to what the prospecting activities are, the right prospecting activities are for your business. And if you're new and starting out, I tell folks, you really need to focus there because you do need to generate clients, and you probably don't have a huge long financial runway, right? There's at some point you probably need to start making money. And so putting up time and energy and focus into prospecting is actually a smart move in the beginning. But at the same time, the third plan that you need is your referral plan. And unfortunately, referrals are not a short-term fix. There is no silver bullet. You cannot just go out and be like, all right, I'm going to get some referrals today, right? It doesn't work that way. Now, you can go out and ask for them, of course. And if you're okay with that, so be it. But once you have conditioned the people who know you that you're an asker, right, that you will ask for those referrals, you kind of gain that reputation. And so I always tell folks to be careful about that when they're starting out, because it's hard to overcome what people first think about us, that first impression. So I would focus more on the prospecting activities, which, depending on your industry, depending on your business, right? If you're an online business, that may be more of your content strategy and your Facebook ads, right? It might be putting the lead magnets and the content upgrades out there. Versus if you're more of a professional services firm, right, it may be spending more time getting to know people in your local community and getting to know the people who come across the type of clients who need you, and developing your network and spending more time networking and one-on-one coffees. I mean, it kind of depends on your business as to what prospecting activities you do. But you should, as you start building on clients and taking amazing care of those clients, then you're in a place to start having a referral plan that you're going to start, that's going to generate in the background. And I say, when I work with someone, when they go through my online program or they work with me one-on-one on their referral generating plan, is that my goal is to make that referral plan the biggest piece of the pie. So you're less reliant on your prospecting plan, and your marketing plan is more because you need to, not because you're expecting a return on investment in terms of leads from it. That doesn't mean you won't, but the reliance of where your business comes from is going to be on that referral plan, and you'll be less reliant so much on that prospecting plan moving forward. But it is a transition your business will go through. And so, I mean, I know that's probably, unfortunately, not the advice that somebody who's like brand new, they're like, can I just start my business and get some referrals? And unfortunately, maybe your mom or dad, right? Or maybe your neighbor, or maybe the best friend that you went to college with that knows what you're doing, right? You can go and have a conversation with them about, here's who I'm looking for, and they'll try to help you. There's always those people who will try to help. But the reality is when you're starting out, you need to focus on building up your clients. And there's some other tactics that will just do that faster, and those prospecting type tactics and activities, than referrals will. But eventually you should be able to switch to a referral focus. And then that'll just make your life that much easier. I mean, I do have people going to my program who are new, and I always say, well, then we need to identify who you want to be referring you. And then we have to cultivate relationships with them, and we have to use the right language with them. And so there's a way to do it. It's just slower. That's the nature of referrals. But once you hit your tipping point with referrals, I mean, for me now, 90-95% of my clients come through referrals. I mean, where I spend my time is completely shifted, because I'm not out there networking and trying to meet people face to face and just, you know, trying to go out there and generate prospecting type activities to bring in clients. I get to sit back and they come to me through referrals. But it took time to get there because I followed a plan.
Referrals are definitely something we should aim to do in the long run, because customers and clients literally come to us without us doing any additional work. All the work we put in creates that effect where people would want to refer people our way. And you mentioned that you have a referral plan in place, and you give your clients referral plans as well. And I'm wondering, what is in that referral plan? Is it just you building relationships with people who could potentially refer you without asking for the referral? Or is there a little more to it?
There is. There's a little bit more to it than that. And what's really cool is, and when I talk to most people, I'm like, you know, it's five steps. We can boil everything down that we need to do to generate referrals into a basic five steps. And it does start, right? I mean, the beginning of this plan is going to start with, well, who's referring you now? And there are a lot of people that I work with that are like, and that would be nobody. Nobody is referring me now. And some people have a couple of dozen, and some people have more than that in terms of their referral sources. What I find a mistake that most people make is that they want referrals, but then they have absolutely no idea who's an actual referral source for them. And if they don't have enough referral sources, which is typically the case, they at least have to be able to identify, well, then who should be referring you? And the process to build up referral sources, it takes a little bit more time. There is more investment in terms of like getting to know them. And this isn't a local thing, right? I mean, like I have referral sources all across the country of people I've never even met, but I definitely have a relationship with them. And so we've never met face to face, but right, but we have, you know, we have connected in other ways and maintained a professional relationship. And so it does take a little bit more time. I think it's easier to do if they're local because you have more opportunities to see them. But it's not all about just seeing them. It's not all about face-to-face coffees and lunches and right that type of involvement. When I talk to people about building out this referral generating plan, it does start with knowing who refers you, right? But then it actually goes deeper and it makes sure that, you know, we've got to have a way of always thanking people once they refer us. That's a smaller step within the puzzle, right? Like, yes, you better be able to thank. And an email thanking you is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a handwritten note that thanks you for referring me, right? And then we have to figure out, okay, but what happens? What do we do between those referrals received? Or if we've never received a referral from someone and we want one, right? Then we have to figure out, okay, well, what do we do in between receiving referrals or before we receive that first referral? And that's where I always tell folks the meat of my program is, and the kind of where you spend your time is in that outreach, is in those touch points or that outreach you'll do to your referral sources, or what I call soon to be referral sources, those you're trying to convert into referral sources. And that's kind of where the magic happens. And I kind of refer to it as my secret sauce in terms of, you know, it's not a phone call. It's not an email. It's not a checking in. It's not a keeping in touch. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when the outreach that we do while we're trying to develop this deeper relationship with our referral sources or soon to be referral sources, it's all about being memorable and meaningful. And then it's all about knowing the right language to use to plant referral seeds so that they're thinking of referrals without you ever saying, hey, do you have any referrals for me? Right. And there's specific types of ways and language that we do that. And I think about it within my program, there's a whole module on language. Like, how do you plant these referral seeds? What language do you use? And it has tons of examples of what that looks like to use in different circumstances. So what we're trying to do is be memorable and meaningful with our outreach using the right language, because what we're ultimately after is transcending keeping in touch and moving into top of mind. So that when an opportunity comes up with someone, that we are the first person that they will think about. And in some cases that they'll create the opportunity versus waiting for it to happen. And there's a little bit of kind of in terms of a science kind of behind it, but also an art form behind it in terms of when you are memorable and meaningful and when you take care of people and when you make sure people know, hey, I see you, I know you, I care about you. How can I help you? Right? What can I do for you? Here's something that I want you to notice, you know, the impact is that I'm being memorable and meaningful. People remember how we make them feel. And when we can transcend what we said and what we do and get into, they only remember what we feel, right? How they feel about us when they're around us or what we do for them, right? That's when we kind of lodge into their subconscious at a level of really top of mind. And that's when the referrals start. And most people are like, it sounds too simple. Like, what, I mean, like once you go through the program, everything, I guess, you know, most people would tell you everything makes sense. Like you're like, okay, I can see how these pieces connect. But when I just talk about it, like in this format, and we're not like in it, like looking at it, the reality of it is that we are just connecting with them on a different level that a phone call, a hey, how are you? Or an email, hey, I wanted to check in on you, can never get you to in terms of a level of a relationship with them. And that's ultimately what we're trying to establish. And we don't need to do this with everybody. Not all your clients will refer you. So we don't do this referral experience, right? We don't have a referral generating plan for all of our clients. We don't have it for everybody in our network because some of us know thousands and thousands of people. We do it for the folks that are more likely to refer us, who have referred us, who should be referring us, or who are the type of people who come across our ideal client. And we want to cultivate that habit of referring us within them. And so it's a more smaller, concentrated group of people. I mean, for some folks, it's less than 12. It's less than a dozen. For others, it's a couple of dozen. But if that can generate you, right, how many, the number of referrals you need in a year, that's what we're ultimately after. When you look at the number of people who generate referrals for me, it's typically it's going to be around 12, 15, maybe 20 in some cases. And I generate over 100 referrals every year and have for the last number of years in a row. And so it doesn't take a huge amount of people. It doesn't take a huge amount of work. But we have to understand that we have to be more than just keeping in touch. We have to be memorable and meaningful. And then our outreach has to matter. And it has to be planned in advance so that we actually do it throughout the year while we're building the habit in our referral sources to refer us.
And it seems like there are many different things that form a referral strategy and how you're maintaining these relationships. And there are many different parts to making it happen, but not everyone has it as dialed in as you with referrals. And they're like, and goals in general, it's just that we have an idea of where we want to be, but some of us may feel like we're stuck and that we're not reaching our full potential. So what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential with being able to get more referrals for their business?
I think that what holds most people back. I think there's two things that hold most people back. So let me say it this way. I think that what holds people back is that they only know the traditional advice. And so that they have been through enough sales training or read enough articles or books, and their mentality is, I have to ask to receive referrals. And so the mentality goes like this. Okay, if I want referrals, I'm going to have to ask. I don't want to ask. Okay, that means referrals isn't for me. And that mentality that becomes like, you know, a message they hear that becomes a belief that they operate from is one thing that definitely holds them back from generating referrals, is they just believe it's not for them because they're not willing to ask for referrals. So I do a lot of teaching around, you don't have to ask. There's actually a number of things you shouldn't be doing if you want to generate referrals, and asking is one of them. And so I think for a lot of folks, my message and what I do is like a breath of fresh air, because they're like, oh, got it. Okay, I don't have to ask. So it's overcoming that mentality that's become a belief pattern is one of the things. And I would say the other thing that people kind of holds them back from generating referrals is that they won't do the work. I mean, the reality of it is that generating referrals is still work. It's way more fun and way more enjoyable than cold calling or networking every night or eating rubber chicken lunches at every networking event you can go to, or, you know, sending out cold emails to people, or, you know, meeting with people one-on-one for coffee and walking out saying, well, that was a waste of my time and I can't get that hour back, right? I mean, the truth is that stuff takes more work and is not as fun when it comes to generating new clients. Referrals has its own work, but it's more fun, but yet it's still work and you still have to work it. And if you do nothing, you will receive nothing. And so people are always looking for that silver bullet. They just like, give me the pill I can take today and have referrals by tomorrow. And it doesn't work that way. So I would say those are probably the two things that hold people back.
And you emphasize a point that I feel like we know, but like that silver bullet, like we look for that silver bullet. I feel like that's something we know, like there is no silver bullet, but I feel like we're still searching for a silver bullet. Like a lot of people, like, we know it's not here, but we'll look for it anyway. I feel like that's what happens with us in some cases with the silver bullet. And when we don't find it, surprise, surprise, it can really hurt our ability to overcome some of the challenges that we face. And one of the questions that I love asking all my guests is if you could share one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
So, you know, I think most people would expect me to say, oh, that business failure, right, was definitely a challenge that I faced and that I was able to overcome it. And then I learned a lot of lessons from it. But, you know, that failure for me was so many years ago now. When I think about the challenges that I overcome now, I always call them burning the boats moments. It's having the guts and being brave enough to make a decision to shift something in your business and not know how it's going to land, like how it's going to end up. So, you know, I came up with this 5-step process to generate referrals because my second business was a productivity and business coaching practice. And I needed to figure out a way to grow it because a business failure number two could not happen. I could not go through that again. And so I literally experimented on myself and figured out how to grow my business and how to generate over 100 referrals every year, like year after year after year. And then eventually transitioned into not taking on one-on-one clients, which is what I've known, and helping people all across the world, right? Not just across the country, but all across the world. We, you know, have international buyers now in my program. And making that shift has been a really big challenge, to go from that one-on-one coaching work to more, hey, now I have an online program that you can go through, and you can still do VIP one-on-one with me. But the reality is, it's like that model shift, right? And it's kind of like you have to burn the boats of like what you know and what's comfortable, and you have to be willing to trust in yourself and move forward and to get out of your own way and your default state of being comfortable, to burn those boats and shift and go in a different direction with your business. And the reality is I could continue to coach one-on-one with people and growing their business and being more productive and doing my referral work as well. But what I really want to do is I want to be the voice for lots of people out there who think I don't have to ask, and there is someone who can show me the way. And so for that, I had to make a big shift in my company a couple of years ago and really focus on pushing my online programs and going in that direction. And it was scary. It was a challenge. And I was in my own way. I was the biggest challenge, is overcoming what I was comfortable in. And I'll tell you, I'm not on the other side completely. I don't know if we ever are, but every day it's just a matter of, you know, believing and trusting and relying on your faith and just keep moving forward in that direction. And I think that's one way that I overcome some of those challenges, is just to keep moving forward and believing that I'm on the right path. And if I'm not, you know, the big guy upstairs will redirect that path. And so I think that's like, when I think about it for most folks, I'm like, you know, you're constantly having challenges. And it's a matter of, if you're going to get to the next level, there'll always be another iceberg you have to overcome. And it's a matter of, are you willing to?
I really love that idea of just keeping on swimming, because like we're all going to face certain challenges and we just have to push through them. Some challenges are big, some challenges are small, but we only get through them by pushing through. So it's very important to remember that we need to keep on swimming in order to surpass those challenges. And when I find myself in a tough spot, I sometimes go the self-education route. So I'll read a lot more books, I'll consume a lot more articles, watch more videos, because I feel like self-education can get you out of virtually any challenge that you're in. And with self-education in mind, I'm wondering, Stacey, if you could share with us three great books that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
Definitely. So two are what I would refer to as oldies but goodies, and then one's a more recent book that's come out. So the two oldies but goodies would be E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber. I think that if you're going to grow a business that's going to provide you any level of freedom, you have to figure out how you can't be the only one doing all the work. And you have to figure out how to build your business to grow. And whether that's processes and systems, whether it's outsourcing, whether it's employees, you've got to have a system in place to be able to grow so that you can get what you should probably ultimately want from your business, is some level of freedom, right? And you can't have that if you are the one who has to push all the buttons and pull all the levers. So I think E-Myth Revisited is a great book for that, by Michael Gerber. The other one is by Gay Hendricks, which is The Big Leap. And I think that is helps you mentally figure out how you self-sabotage and mentally figure out how you can get out of your own way in terms of like, why are you not getting to the next level, and why do you keep finding yourself in this place of comfort? And for some folks, it's okay to stay there, and for others, it's not. And I think The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks is a great book for that. And then this is a book I've just started reading. So, but I'm a huge fan of Daniel Pink. I don't think Dan Pink does any, I don't think he's ever really written a bad book, in my opinion. And so his newest book that just came out at the beginning of 2018 is called When: Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing. And I'm just starting into that one. And I think I always gain insights when I read his book. And so I'm looking forward to finishing that one. But that would be the third one that I would recommend.
Stacey, thank you for those awesome book recommendations. And anyone who wants to get the links to those and the show notes, those will be over at markgerberry.com/E132. And before we close out this episode, I'd like to flip the tables a little bit. So, Stacey, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question we need to be asking ourselves more often?
So I think a question we need to be asking ourselves more often was I brave today? And I don't mean today as in every day you have to be brave, but I do think sometimes when we're reflecting back on the day that we've had or the week that we've had, it's the ability to figure out, was I brave or did I default back into a comfort state and didn't do the thing that may take myself or my business to the next level? I think comfort is so easy to fall back into, that default state of being. And there's nothing wrong with being comfortable. But if you want to get to the next level, you have to have the ability to break it. And so I think a question we need to be asking more is, was I brave today? I mean, I've got three kids under the age of 10, and it's still a question I ask them. And I don't need them to be brave every day. But when it comes down to doing something that makes them scared or uncomfortable, like we always say, be brave, right? It's one of our family mottos. And I think it's just a question as business owners and business leaders that we need to be asking too. Like, was I brave today? Did I have an opportunity to overcome something and then I retreat? Or was I brave and fearless and did I push through?
Stacy, thank you for sharing with us that great question. And that's a question we should definitely be pondering. And because when we do ask ourselves questions, it does allow us to reflect a little deeper and figure out things about ourselves that we didn't know before. And speaking about things that you may have not known before, Stacy shared a lot of great insights throughout our time together, but if you want to learn more about Stacy, see her Growing in Action and get some advice, you can head over to growthbyreferrals.com. And she's even giving us some goodies at growthbyreferrals.com/breakthrough success. It is exclusive to all the Breakthrough Success listeners. And Stacy, I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the goodies that you're going to offer to Breakthrough Success listeners.
Absolutely. So we talked about not asking for referrals as one way to actually generate referrals. And that is one of what I refer to as the seven deadly sins of generating referrals. So you don't want to be doing these things if you want to generate referrals in the long run and for the long term. So I will put the seven deadly sins of generating referrals on that page for your listeners to just grab, make it easy to find. They don't need to go looking for it. They can easily grab it and learn the, what do I not do? What are the no-nos if I want to generate referrals? And of course, asking is one of them, but there are six others that they need to know. And then I also think it's important for people to figure out, do you need help with generating referrals? And there's a great, easy, simple 9-question quiz. I call it the Referral Ninja Quiz. And it'll help you determine your skill level and your abilities and your mindset around generating referrals. And so those 9 questions will tell you, are you a referral ninja beginner? Are you a referral ninja in training? Or are you a referral ninja master? And if you're a master, welcome to my level. It is an awesome place to be. But there's some resources there if you're not, of how you can actually increase and grow to become a referral ninja master. And it just helps you figure out where you are and then what do you need to do to move forward. So I will put both of those on that page and then also a link to my free Facebook group where Facebook group is called Referrals Without Asking. And that's another great free community people can join and learn from other professionals who also want to generate referrals without asking.
Stacy, thank you for sharing with us all those goodies through that link. Again, growthbyreferrals.com/breakthrough success. Stacy, thank you for sharing all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Thanks, Mark, for having me. I appreciate it.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markgoberti.com/retweet.